ませんと何度も言ったはずです。
なぜ、なぜ死なない。
You're disgusting.
No, I have to. I told you I was getting up to go do that.
And, I hate you know, this.
You know how I feel about this awkward boy, literally. Like, this is it. And then I put a coat of Vaseline over it. Oh.
She hears we have listeners now, and look.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta really up the ante. Like,
you think they can hear a difference when you have lip gloss on versus when you don't?
Yeah, just a little bit, because I do slap my lips together quite a bit. As
what
you know.
Is this death I'm hearing in the background?
Sorry, I just got sent a tweet.
I hate that record is on, and well, this is how...
Girl, I'm sorry. That was wild. I was like, what is going on?
Child, hey, the ghetto.
The ghetto.
So the welcome ghetto. Audiences to the ghetto. This is For Filth. Welcome back. We haven't done a pop episode in a while. And it's nice to hear from everybody in one go. Today is going to be literally an episode about loyalty, and we will trend that all together later. So let's just open up with our individual lives, how we've been doing, what we've been doing. It's been a month. Let's hear it.
Well. Hello, everyone.
Let me open the coffin doors so I can get out and step into
I can just
light.
Hear the sawdust coming out when you speak.
Me, like, dusting off the fucking mantle. Well, I've been good. As both of y'all know, but not everyone else knows, I've recently come into my gamer, and that's G-A-Y-M-E-R. You know, status, and I finally was able to secure a Switch thanks to Dolce for having me make sure to check my BestBuy.com and Target.com every couple, you know, hours.
You're welcome.
To make sure that the girls are stocked. So I have just been honestly playing Fire Emblem for the past like 3 days.
So do we stand or do we stand?
We do stand for sure. Okay. I do love the fact that I waited to get the actual console and not the Lite, because I do like the fact that I have two controllers. I like the fact that I can use my Switch as a TV or a little monitor. Like, it's giving me everything. And honestly, like, if I was going to stay in any video games, it would be Nintendo games anyway, so
here we need to get you this Gaia or something. If you like the like, strategy genre.
The RPG game.
Yeah, and I have some recommendations.
Well, girl, give them to me, because honestly, I'm getting through this Fire Emblem game, and even though it's difficult, it's, like, actually really fun, and...
I'm excited.
Yeah. I just love anything with, like, magic and shit. Like, magic is really, like, my moment. Like, bitch, right? There's this one girl in my camp, Mercedes. She's, like, the most sickening white bitch ever, and, like, she is giving you white mage, like...
Yes!
You know, commanding white magic, like, I'm... Oh, wow. Yeah,
well, so. Now that you're here and you're part of this, you know, you're stepping, dipping a toe into this cohort of sickening anime-inspired magical girl type people. Mm-hmm. What is your class? Like, out of the sort of classes, since you probably know how to answer that question now, what is it?
I would probably say a mage, just because I like magic.
Okay, ooh, cool. What about you, Dolce?
You know what? I've always been an aspiring assassin.
Yes.
But I'm usually never full-on the assassin. I'm kind of like Ragnarok Online, if anybody remembers that game. I'm kind of like the bandit version of assassin. I'm the one that, like, sneaks around and steals shit whenever
from Target or Walmart or...
Whichever store doesn't have those cameras, because that's the reason why they installed them, but...
Oh, I love that.
That's
you gotta be a little bit more sneaky in Target. Walmart is pretty much like you can just walk out with it, but like, Target, you have to have.
Walmart, they just hand it to you, don't they?
Caputo, for the messiness, do you remember when y'all used to send me your grocery shopping list and be like, can you pick this up for me?
Oh, girl. Until they really started putting in those cameras, because, bitch, Dolce would walk through that Walmart, you know, makeup aisle and just have that satchel out and just like Using her arm to just sweep the entire shelf into the bed.
So would you say she Rizzo'd the aisle, or?
Girl, that fucking shelf was bare after.
I hate that. I really hate.
There was no Maybelline left. I had the entire Maybelline collection by the end of the first year. Like, it was a lot. And I only used 2 lipsticks out of, like, 78 of them that I took.
You know, I too hate capitalism. Right? Okay.
I was doing my part.
Drag queens are on the front lines for the revolution against capitalism. You heard it here on the film. Honestly,
I think Dolce's class is communist. She might be proletariat. No.
Her class is Karl Marxist publicist.
Oh, gag.
Oh, my God. Shut up.
So that's why you didn't listen to fucking Beyonce until recently.
Oh, my God.
That makes sense.
I've been found out. My wig is gone.
It was a protest.
Yes, it was. Whatever you're saying.
I'm the publicist of the group, so let's spin this.
So, yeah, that's what I've been doing. And just tending to my plants. I know, Julio, you've been doing the same, so...
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. You know, I'm trying
about,
to put my...
How about you share a little bit of
I'm trying to put my Whole Foods vegan voice on right now and just let you guys know that I've been raising plants and eating Whole Foods every day of my life lately.
And we love that for you.
I'm wearing my hemp sandals, and no, honestly, life has been real cute. It's been very, like, low key personally. I've been definitely eating healthier and walking, and like Caputo said, I've got some new plants in the house, and it's not for Instagram. It's actually really fun to, like, put water on them shits and let them shits grow and, like, have them take over my living room. It's just, like, the best thing ever.
Girl, when I come over, if I gotta go through the fucking Amazon forest to get to a bathroom, I'm gonna shoot someone. Tory Lanez is not gonna be the only one that has shot someone.
Well, girl, you're so rude. you're disgusting. I mean, I don't know if some bitches can get in my house anymore, bitch. Like, I'm gonna get like 2 or 3 more aloe plants, and they're just gonna suck up all that negative energy. Like,
you know what it's gonna be like? I don't even know
who can come in my house now.
You know what it's gonna be like? It's gonna be like, you remember in Jumanji, the episode when they came into the house and it was the whole fucking forest and water? Yes. It's gonna be that.
And I'm just like suspended in a vine because the plants have killed me and I'm just there.
Honestly, it's a mood.
It's a horror movie now. No, but honestly, like, I have this thing. It's a Malabar spinach is what it's called. And I have a friend who, like, grows plants in her country home or whatever out in Hawthorne. And she gave me this spinach. And I kid you not, it is, like, the most fun fucking plant ever. Because I just look at it and it grows like a foot. Like, the shit has grown so heavy in my house. And I can literally eat it, which is even better. Because her philosophy is, like, if it's in your house, why not be able to eat it? So I mean, she's gonna give me a few more, like, spinach plants that I'm gonna be able to grow indoors, and I'm gonna get some herbs. I'm already trying to grow, like, some tea leaves as well. So I'm gonna be munching shit in my living room, and y'all really won't be able to tell me shit.
Right. The power of snacks in your living room that are in the fridge.
And they'll be healthy, girl. It'll be skinny. It's gonna be everything. So
also, Julio has lost for the audience like 30 pounds. Girl, she's doing it.
We're full fat phobia now.
Let's give her a class.
Sponsored. Oh, sponsored.
not fatphobia.com. Like, I'm so fat.
I actually purchased the domain recently, and I'm planning to use it next year. Spirit of fat phobia calling me. I'm so sorry to the audience. This is one of those episodes where I feel like we just needed to talk to each other for so long that, like, everything is coming out. So let's just suffice to say that I'm honestly just pursuing personal health and stuff right now and trying not to let like, work get to me and just doing a lot of self-care. But it's been working out so far.
And I've been basically doing the same, except, you know, as the audience has found out, I'm a sociopath. So, you know, I've been doing some crazy shit. First of all, Caputo is not the only one indulging in capitalism. I have also purchased the Switch. My God, the power that has, the impact, the global implications. Like, I cannot wait to get that thing in my hand. I spent like $100 in accessories. I have a bag. I have a screen protector. I have all of it. I'm a monster. And then also, I am pursuing the martial arts soon. I've been looking into jiu-jitsu courses.
Yes.
Yeah, the jiu-jitsu courses are going to go off. But the reason, I told Julio this the other night, but I'm going to reveal on the podcast why I want to do jiu-jitsu. So recently, I've been getting back into Resident Evil. So because I've been getting back into Resident Evil and I have like the whole timeline and I'm feeling my Albert Wesker fantasy, like okay, this isn't meant to be a bitch move, but none of y'all leftists can fight, girl. None of y'all.
That's tea.
Okay, y'all want to talk about anarchy, but not one of you are Antifa level fighting. Like, y'all don't have self-defense abilities. So for me, I know I'm going to need them. Like, when we're running across the fields and everybody's getting shot by the tanks, I want to be, you know, huffing it.
Martial girl. Arts.
Yeah.
Martial arts.
Karate chop that tank.
I hate this. I hate that Dolce and I are really thinking the same, because the reason I'm putting all these plants in my house is just to build, just so I can have a forest to hide in when these bitches start like, attacking each other.
But the tea, like, you know, I really want to have like self-defensive ability, so I need, I already know how to use the lance and stuff like that, which I'm not going to disclose how, but thank you. Thank you, Grandma. But yes, you know, I need to really pull myself up and, like, physically be able to handle myself. And also, honestly, Resident Evil, because Resident Evil 8 Village is going to be coming out, I'm really feeling my oats with the Resident Evil storyline. Like, I love viral things. I don't know if that came out wrong, but I love things about viruses and pandemics and, like, and corporations and pharmaceutical companies.
I love A Ring of Hell. I really do. Yeah.
But there's something about, like, how insidious pharmaceutical companies are and, like, bioweapons and things that just really, like, gets me going. It's the same way that teardrop tattoos just make me go, ugh.
I really dislike that you have, like, a station outside the police house, outside the jailhouse.
My booth,
just waiting for prisoners.
My booth is right there next to Jeffree Star's. Don't play. We're the same business.
Please. Please. Oh my god.
Someone call Kamala. She's outside again.
Yeah. Okay. Kamala, where you at?
Kamala, where you at?
Kamala and me are in bed together. I'm currently about to, you know, run for a Senate seat too. You gays really thought you could keep rejecting me. I'm just kidding.
I hate that. You're just bumping purses and pink pistols in that fucking house.
I sure am.
Okay, but did any of y'all watch The Politician on Netflix?
Yes, I actually love the show.
So, like, the gag with, like, the woman who's running for Senate?
Yes!
I'm yelling that that's Dolce. You got, you know, two bitches at home.
And you're, oh, I hate that. That was so sickening. And the way she spun that, she said, oh, yes, a powerful woman with two niggas. Clearly I'm paraphrasing.
Because that is a whole white woman on that show, so...
But she's sickening.
One of her men was black, was he not?
I mean, was he her man really by the end of it?
Ooh.
That's not
spoiling the audience. But, you know, right, spoilers.
Me and Kapala are making curry together, so, you know, that means we are.
And I know that curry good, too. It's got all the spices. I can't wait to try.
I really hate everything about both of you.
West Indian me and East Indian Kamala are really giving y'all something.
But Kamala was the one that put Old Bay into the curry, okay? Like, just so when that becomes a trend, y'all know who started the shit.
You know what?
She put the Old Bay and the Larry's in the fucking curry, okay?
Trinidadians have been putting Shadow Benny in curry for years. Please give me some time.
I put coconut milk in my curry, and I do it oil-free, and I make sure that I go to Whole Foods.
You gotta change your name to, like, Julia or something. Not Julio no more.
It's Juliola. And it stands for payola. Sorry, y'all. Okay, let's just dig into this. I think we should start being serious so they, you know, stop, like, turning off the whatever the fuck they're listening to this with. Yeah.
So you can go from 10 on the volume and turn it up to 30 now. We're going to be serious.
Yeah, we're going to be serious.
So the first thing we should do is just, like, you know, right off the top, let's just, you know, definitely say a rest in power to Chichi Devane and Lady Red. We've lost some, you know, black icons recently. And it's, like, it's really sad because, you know, both of them are medical conditions. And, bitch, as you know, with Corona recently, we found out that maybe medicine in the U.S. needs a revamp and a remix. So, you know, it's definitely sad that we're seeing people go so young. But, you know, they're off the earth. They're not in pain. And that's all you can ever ask for. So condolences to their families and things like that. And yeah, it's at least we have them on video and we have like iconography, things like that we can look at them in the past at and be like, wow, they really were something. Kind of similar to Aaliyah, funny enough that that's like the next thing on the docket.
It's sad. I mean, I didn't know about Chi-Chi's like medical struggle.
History.
Yeah, that she was going through. So that was just like a shock for me. And maybe that was just because I just don't follow that many RuPaul girls like that closely, like with their life. So that was just like a complete shock. But I love Chi-Chi. Like, I've probably said it on the show before. Like, I kind of love the underdogs on like the RuPaul stage, because it's all like a fucking gag and a scene and TV, but like some of the girls just really are real. I feel like Chi-Chi was always the one getting like the short end of the stick or like the butt of the joke, but like she was sickening. Like the bitch was sickening, and I don't think anyone can dispute that. So that was really sad to see. Again, just like complete left field. So rest in power, girl. Rest in power.
For sure.
Did you want to say anything, or?
I didn't think. I think you guys kind of covered how I feel about this.
Yeah.
I think you touched on how it is really a unique thing, at least, and maybe a special thing to have imagery of yourself sort of here for people to continue to revisit and to remember who you are, or at least an aspect of who you are. Right. I think that's a really powerful thing, and I just hope that we continue to tell more and more stories of who people are, people who aren't like everyone else, people who are queer, people black from every, you know, walk of life, so that as people, you know, so when people pass or if people pass anytime soon, we'll always have something to look at as we remember them.
Right.
And I think that's why it's so important for people to tell their actual stories and be celebrated when they're here, so that we can get as much of that as we can before it's too late.
Right. And you know, the Aaliyah camp has celebrated the hell out of her. She today, I think, is also, I don't know, somebody's birthday?
It's not her birthday. It's, oh, okay. Yeah. It's the anniversary. Other date.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the anniversary of her passing. Girl, I remember when that happened. I was actually in school. Very similar to the whole 9/11 thing. Like, they turned on the TV and it was like, oh yeah, Aaliyah has passed. I'm like, girl, I just saw her in Romeo Must Die, and where can I get a man like Jet Li?
I know, and it literally was 19 years ago today, which is crazy.
That is crazy. Oh my god.
Crazy.
Well, she still is, you know, the queen. There's only one vampire that I know of, and it was Queen of the Damned, Akasha. She is it. No one's ever going to be able to move like that or look like that. It's what I aspire to if I ever, like, did vampire anything. I would love to do that. Just the hand movements and the you know, all of that heavy breathing shit. It's just amazing.
I remember thinking she was demonic and then going back and being like, she's sickening. Oh, Lord.
The things that God keeps from you.
Look, I mean, I stand Aaliyah as a kid. It wasn't until I got older and I was trying to suppress my homosexuality by trying to be like a Christian and then like felt some type of way. But afterwards, girl, I released those shackles, girl, and I took her album, girl, in my hands. I took the recording.
Yeah.
No, but Aaliyah was just such a special talent, and I don't say that in the, like, woo-woo way people say it, where they're like, oh my god, she was amazing because she's not here anymore. Like, as a kid, I stand Aaliyah. I wanted her to be, like, whatever the equivalent of a girlfriend was for me at the time, and, like, I just thought her talent was so cool, her look was so cool. She just had such an energy. And, you know, it's crazy how, as an older person, now you get to hear so much about what was going on for her, like, behind the scenes. And that whole thing, which is even, you know, crazier. But
yeah. It is really crazy, especially because, like, there were people that are older than us that kind of saw all of that and kind of was like, yeah, like, R. Kelly married her at 13 or whatever, how old she was. Like, and people kind of were just like, yeah. And, like, we all, like, learned about that when we were, like, already almost adults. And we were like, oh, shit. Like, they really was actually, like, wedding certificate and everything. Like, married. Like, that is wild. So, you never know. You really don't know what's going on in all of that. But she was, like, such a superstar from, like, the get. So, it's, like, it's so much of a tumultuous life that you have when you're, like, 15 and you just, like, suddenly become famous and you're in the middle of everything. You're booking movies. You're making music. Everyone loves you. Like, it's such a crazy life. And, like, it's so sad that it was ended so soon. Because, damn, you know, the girls love to go online and say, you know what? Beyonce would have been nothing.
I knew this was coming. Beyonce, oh, my God.
You know the girls were getting on that shit and say Beyonce would have been.
Caputo is such a black woman. Because she always hits the point. She always hits the content pieces the black girls look for. Like, girl, we know that was coming. That was because in the book. Because
I be listening to the girls and how they be chirping, okay? Like, I just be listening. to how the girls chirp. So,
it's because Caputo literally is a black woman. Like, the reviews
say. Stop!
Honestly, on the
voices, like, some comments, I'm not going to say who, but some reviewers have been like, yeah, I listened to the show. I listened to the show and I thought that the actual black person on the show is Caputo. Like, that's it.
Shout out to the unicorn girl.
Not that we all race switch and I'm the only black woman on the show.
Right. I mean, I am a white woman, but damn, Dolce.
Look, my trust fund says I'm not black either, but whatever, it's fine. Anyways, that's problematic.
That shit says Chinese, bitch. Y'all saw Chung, bitch?
I hate two chopsticks in my bun really was serious for her.
Please stop.
Nikki really couldn't touch that.
Put two sticks in my bun.
She inspired Nikki, to be honest.
I did.
So
I
was giving two Chinese sticks in my bun.
So they give me my trust when I come.
I am such a shadow barb. Like, who makes more references to Nicki Minaj's discography than me?
Honestly, no.
I'm like a dark shadow barb. I'm not really there, but
not Julio's persona from Persona 5 being Nicki.
Fat ass, thick, pink wig, thick ass. Give her whip. Like, I can just imagine her coming out after I shoot myself in the head.
Oh my god,
sickening.
Yes, persona.
For those of you who did not know what I was coming for with that joke, like, just look up persona and just, like, call it a day. Because I'm not explaining it here.
When you see the Persona Awakening specifically, that's what you're going to want to go look for.
Yeah, it's sickening, by the way.
Yeah. So now we're going to move on from that.
We really thought we were going to get serious, and I guess it's just
okay,
not in the cards.
Okay, but we can also allude to the fact that we're going to be getting Aaliyah's music on streaming, and, like, that's going to be a new era of, like, how her uncle was controlling her estate and all that. Like, that, this is, like, really big news. Like,
but I always wondered why we didn't have the music before.
Because, like, her uncle actually has the rights to her estate and all of her music after her first album. Her first album was, I think it was, like, who owns the masters is R. Kelly. Because he produced that entire album, and then eventually it moved to, like, other production and other things like that. But her first album was the only thing that was on streaming, like, anything. You would have to literally, I think you had to buy, like, physical CDs to get the other ones. Like, or, like, I don't even know what the actual situation was, but that was, like, you weren't going to find anything else besides, like, a couple of random singles here and there, and then her first album. So now they're talking about, and this is coming from, like, Aaliyah's personal, I guess, quote-unquote personal accounts, saying that very soon we'll be getting the rest of her catalog on streaming. And I'm like, this is something that I can get behind, like, because, bitch, I'm
gonna say. So who does the money go to, though, when that happens?
Girl, I don't know. Let me read the little thing. It says, to our loyal fans, we are excited to announce that the communication has been commenced between the estate and various record labels about the status of Aaliyah's musical catalog, as well as the availability of it on streaming platforms in the near future. So I think it was, I think the main thing was that the uncle owns the estate and, or has control over the estate and her music. And like, that was the reason why we're not allowing that to be on streaming. Like Prince did the same thing, but Prince owned his estate. Like he had complete control over his estate. And that was a whole thing for his entire career, that he owns the estate. No one controls what his music is or what he can make or what he does. But then when he died, I think it moved to somebody else on his, in his team or camp or family. And they were like, you know what? We could be making money off this shit. And they leaked the whole, they leaked everything. They were getting shit out of the vault. They unlocked that shit and were throwing things out. Like, bam, that's bam, kind bam. Of my
concern. I have a feeling, just a hunch that, well, I have a hunch that Aaliyah probably wouldn't have a problem with her music being streamed, but I just wonder who's getting the coin off of that, and like whether or not this is actually exciting news, because obviously we want the music, but I'm like, if R. Kelly's getting that coin, I really do not necessarily want that
to be happening. I would have to look into that, because I think for if it was R. Kelly that was like, maybe if he has like production credits on some of the songs, maybe, but I think for overall, R. Kelly wasn't producing the majority of her music past her first album.
Okay.
So cool. He might be getting some coin, but I think, and honestly, like whoever is getting the coin is probably going to be some like higher up execs anyway, and maybe like some people in Aaliyah's family because of the estate that has control over the music.
Yeah, but like hopefully it's at least going to her family or something.
I'm just happy that like, because it's kind of sad like when we lose artists to the test of time, kind of thing. Like, there are, like, children that don't even know who Aaliyah is, don't know anything about her impact, have never seen a movie with her in it, like, don't know, have never seen a video, like, and that's all because, like, everything is about streaming now. And, like, we were almost about to literally lose Aaliyah, one of the biggest, like, R&B innovators, like, singer-songwriters, whatever, like, to the test of time. And that's, like, kind of sad, like... That shouldn't be a thing. It shouldn't be only like people over the age of like 25 know who Aaliyah is. Like, we should know who Aaliyah is. So I'm taking this as a win until I find out anything differently, and I'll be keeping my eyes peeled.
And I think we should know who she is because of her music, not because of her, you know, relationship with that individual.
Exactly. And that's kind of all we had. I mean, or at least this new generation, that's all they really had, was watching the R. Kelly you know, show and HBO and the special, and seeing Aaliyah's face, and they're like, oh, is that girl the one that was married to Aaliyah, R. Kelly? Like, that's not what her legacy should be. So
yeah, I want to like officially say, just for myself, I feel like that right now is the point too. Like, we should know her for her music and her talent and her vision and her, just her look too. Like, Aaliyah was like a visual kind of star too. There was something alluring about just watching her, her music, her interviews. And so, like, it would be great to just have more of that overshadow the other narrative surrounding her as an artist and a figure.
Agreed. Aaliyah really did set the precedent for the 90s almost, and some of the early 2000s. Like, I mean, she released that video of Rock the Boat before she even kind of left us. And that video went up, like, it was fire. It was on the number ones for how many weeks? The girls were sweating. Like, Aaliyah really had the potential to kind of do what some of the girls as Caputo said on the blogs, you know, talk about. Like, she really could have set...
They've been chirping.
Yeah, they've been chirping.
The birds been chirping.
She could have set it off, like, but, you know, we still have some of her music posthumously, which is great, and it'll be nice to, you know, hear maybe if she has some unreleased tracks and things like that, kind of like how the Jacksons do. It'll be nice to hear from her. So let's move into this whole Jeffree Star debate. My pink wigged
pink wig no S.
No
S.
She is currently having a thing on Twitter. This is just something funny for us to talk about really quickly, and the fact that she is now rumored to be dating this man named Andre Marhold, who's like not an NBA player. He just played professional basketball for teams, I think, in Germany and Austria.
Oh, that's kind of sickening.
Yeah, it's kind of sickening. And I mean, it's not like he's not fine, but you know, we all know my type. We all know my type.
So not anyway. Dolce's type with Jeffree Star.
What?
Oh my god.
Excuse me? Pause the recording.
Not Dolce.
Because I need to handle this off there.
Oh my god.
Not Dolce's type sleeping with Jeffree Star.
Oh, okay, that part. Okay, okay. Because, you know, me and my good sister are outside of the jailhouse, and we are 100% waiting.
Oh, so y'all share the niggas between you.
My booth. Didn't I tell you that we're in a business deal together? The booth was paid for her by her. And, you know, I get all the royalties.
I hate that. So y'all put coins together and got her that suit, right?
Not the Louis Vuitton tracksuit.
You got your trust fund. She got her, you know, YouTube ad revenue money, and y'all
Dolce really be helping her with her videos. She's like, you know what? I'll test out your product on, you know, a black girl's face. So at least you got that. And then as repayment, we're sharing the man.
I didn't tell y'all that I was the lighting director for a lot of her videos.
Dolce said, arch your back. She goes, I am. She goes, oh, okay.
You know my face. I'm your assist.
I know her mark.
She said, oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh, well. Okay, break your back, bitch.
Snap it in half. Dimensionally split that shit. We need you to have an arch.
Please. We need an arch, sis.
I want to see that shit at a 90-degree angle, bitch, okay?
I want an obtuse triangle right now.
I really hate this. This conversation has just become something so wrong. So far from what makes sense. I mean, genuinely, like, let me just say this. I am probably the most annoying one out of the group when it comes to criticizing things and being critical of things. But, like, shut up. So, but, yeah. Yes. But Jeffree's sickening here. I can't. Like, it's a look. It's kind of a look. Like, with the wig, the back shots.
Which one are we talking about? Are we talking about the moment with the man or the follow-up?
I mean, I'm seeing these all as kind of like a visual album.
A rollout. Yeah,
it's a rollout. It's because, you know, I work in marketing and I see the narrative she's building in between shots. And I could just see how her team is just weaving this, like, girl, Womana, you know. I can see now where Dolce's, you know, influence is in all of this.
Yes. Maybe that's why all of the pictures are, like, from the back, like, with a different time. Like,
it might not even be Jeffree, honestly. We don't know.
It might not.
This is why I don't turn my camera on in the views, because you might be
Jeffree. Girl. I'm gonna test you. I'm gonna say Jeffree and see if you respond a few times.
Cut the cameras, dead ass. Dead ass. The cameras.
Honestly, like, after, like, okay, so back in the day, back in like 2012, like, I was like a big time Jeffree stan for her music. I was like, bitch, this gay ass music, like, she's giving me like androgyny femme fatale. She's giving me like this like faggot ass music. Like, I was getting my life, and then things just started coming out. I saw her at Warped Tour, or him. I don't know.
Was it Skeletons from the Closet?
Was
it her skeleton?
I'll just use they, because I'm not sure about their pronouns. But like, they were just being a lot and like very like evil towards people. Just very like snippy and like rude. And then right after that happened, I found out that they were like racist and throwing around the n-word whenever they wanted to and all this shit. And then all the things that happened after that, I'm still surprised that this person has a career. So like, now here we're at, and like in 2020, now this person has a black boyfriend. I don't really know what to call this person either, but like, I just don't know what else this year is going to have for us, because this just seems like we're in the twilight zone at this point. Like, I just don't know what to take on anything. And,
right. Jeffree is fine with all pronouns, by the way, so we can say whichever we want.
Perfect.
I looked it up.
We love a good fact-checking beat.
Yes, I need to fact-check. We're not the Wendy Show.
Yeah. Okay, period. We're actually conscious and awake during her meetings. You know it's bad when they literally have a morning briefing meeting about the topics every show, and she's still like, who? What? Where?
I hate this.
she just be saying whatever the fuck she wants, and it's so aggravating. But we are not like that.
It's a device. It's such a device for her, too.
It is. But we are not like that. We don't use that device. We have other devices to use.
I have a phone, and I can Google whatever I want.
Period.
That stroke really fucked her up, didn't it?
Let's not. I know. With the cocaine fallout. Speaking of which, can we talk about Kaya and how Azealia Banks just opened an entire library and just rizzled it on Kaya's
dead body? We have to stop using this term.
For the audience, rizzling is transporting, you know, large objects from one space to another.
Dimensionally transporting
them. Making them disappear and reappear in other places. Yes. I feel... I feel the way that Azealia Banks just destroyed Kaya was so rude, and what was rude about it was just the fundamental level of accuracy that was involved in everything she said.
Mm-hmm. Which is all of Azealia's commentary.
Yes, it's evil, it's dark, it's always, almost always true.
But for Caputo's Fire Emblem, the hit rate is 100% all the way up.
Yeah, it is all the way up. She is, like, maxed out.
Bullseye.
When she said, mind your molars, I was like, what? Not mind your molars, bitch. Like, that is so...
Oh my god!
It's very that black on TNT.
What was so wrong about it was, like, it was... Like, with Azealia, you know, Azealia's one of those people who, like, she'll say something... It'll be 100% right, I guess, maybe. But then it'll also be about her somehow as well. Because from my standpoint, like, I'm a huge, you know, Azealia fan. I don't care what anyone thinks. You know, it is what it is. I think her music is great. But, like, she's highly problematic. She says all kinds of crazy shit. And she's not always looking her best on camera when she does it.
Yeah.
And it's just funny to see how, like, Kaya is always, like, shot just, like, spewing a level of just negativity and vitriol that it's just so funny to see someone like who's at her level or worse like come and just turn you know Sauron's eye in her direction and just obliterate her.
Not her looking for her contacts with Sauron's eye.
I said Sauron's eye.
Oh, that thing. You like mean the Lord thing in Lord of the Rings?
Yes.
Like, oh my god.
She said Cyclops. You know when Cyclops takes his glasses off and then she just
okay, we're not doing this.
And Cyclops just obliterates. Okay. I mean, it is what it is. Kaya sucks.
Cyclops' eyes, that's another Rizzo, because they're a dimension to another, they're a portal to another dimension. And the energy that comes through is like an energy from another dimension. The original Armin Rizzo.
Oh, is this god. A segue into a porn scene, or
this is some power.
But no, we're writers. Pornhub better come for this shit and sponsor it.
Not Pornhub.
I'm sorry. Is,
I really can't wait until Kaya says something because, like a little, like comeback. Because Kaya can read too. But the thing is, Kaya's reads are a little bit less tact and a little bit more violating. So it's kind of just like throwing random shit, and then like it's usually something homophobic, transphobic, anti-black, like anti-woman. Like it's just like so bad. At least like Azealia has her dictionary and her thesaurus open.
That's like, the thing. That's how you know one is a rap legend and one is just a hitmaker. Right. Because Kaya is a hitmaker. She has one hit to her name and she made it. So there we go.
Okay. And R-E-S-P-E, respect me.
Kaya has a whole hit to her name, even though she says she has a catalog of hits. I don't know where they are. But Kaya is damn. She does damage. Like, I don't care what anyone says, like, whether it's transphobia or not. When she opens her mouth, if you're in the way, you're in trouble.
That's what I'm saying.
Kaya is scary. She is formidable. So I don't want to know what happens when she decides to, you know, give her retort to Azealia. But Azealia is like an artist and she's a lyricist. And like the way she like strings together words to make you both laugh and cry at the same time. Like, I don't know anyone who does that. Mind your molars will stick with me.
Forever. I just really hope that Kaya pays her phone bill and makes sure that the phone line is connected when she makes this rebut. Because, girl, like, I would love to see it. Like, I love to see the mess, especially when it comes between these two women. So I would love to just witness
the fact that Azealia sent her a link to, like, delivery. Like, you could, like, deliver these bridges back, like, to your house so that you can put them into your mouth and like adjust your bite and shit. Like, she was giving her dental advice.
No.
And telling her to like
the fact that she gave her a code. She said they're having a 25% off sale with code SummerSmile.
Don't tell me you just read me and then gave me an affiliate link. I just, honestly.
Like, she's really trying to help you. Like, I'm not even, like, I'm really trying to help you out, girl. Because, like, it is just, like, it is wild to me how you walking over here with these.
Can I just modes. Cut the cameras and read this read? Like, I just want to quickly just.
Oh, no. I do not want to go into are we having a, are we having a dramatic reading?
Yes! I'm going to very quickly do, because I want the audience to fully understand. Azulia said, mind your business and mind those back molars. I'm tired seeing you laughing and cackling and seeing these holes in the back of your mouth. And that was just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, that is just like the very tip of that iceberg. Look.
So,
I'm not doing this. Let's move on. We're going to talk very quickly about Nikki's child. Another hot topic, apparently. I don't care about the child. I don't. Ooh. I don't like children. I don't like children.
You're so rude because you know you're going to be like, oh, look at this. Look at this. Look at this Louis Vuitton tracksuit her daughter is wearing in 4 years.
I sure will. And guess what? It's gonna happen, and I don't give a fuck.
You're gonna be like, "Ooh, look at this wig she's wearing." Ooh.
Y'all know I love me some Nikki. I will proudly claim Barb. I know a lot of people don't want to do that, and I'm not just talking about Julio Lopez here.
I'm an Onika fan.
That's what everybody be saying, but you know, you can't have one without the other. Okay. It's all the same Ortiz.
I could do without some of these tracks. I know that. Anyways.
Yeah, you keep quoting.
I track the tracks I like. Right. Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. We don't talk about this. We're not talking about this. But I'm not doing this.
We all know that I am the resident Barb of the chat, of the podcast. And even I, after this whole Kenny thing, like, I really kind of had to tap out of her life. Because, like, she was being just a tad too messy for me. Like, and it was the way that she was, like, framing her life to be this, like, amazing thing of, like, I finally found everything that I wanted, da-da-da. But, like, just glossing over all of the mess and, like, honestly, at this point, I don't even think she really like her husband like that. Like, I think she's just really there for the name. Like, being Barbie Petty, like, that's really what it's it tough. Is for her. But, like, will still follow.
It's tough because part of me wants to believe that she doesn't like him, but I think that's like wishful thinking. I think women who date men often date problematic men and brush over that problematicness so that they can actually live out whatever their fantasy is. And this isn't just women. Men who date men do this too. Women who date whoever they date, you know, do this too. Like, it's not just about men, but I think that this is just an example of many times I've seen great women dating men who are sort of well below the mark that I think we would all personally agree on. So this man has done all kinds of things and is associated with all kinds of things. And Nikki herself has been associated with men like this who have been these types of people as well. And it just sucks to kind of see her, like, I guess, not acknowledging that in a public way. But I always like to say that female rappers are not politicians, and this is exactly why.
I mean, girl, I can't wait to see the pics. I mean, she did give a good rollout for the pregnancy pics.
Look, I'm just happy that the actual, you know, woman in rap who was actually royalty is having a child now, so we can, like, focus on that. Like, not that Nikki is currently the queen of anything, but Nikki had her reign for however long it was. And, like, it's cute to see her being able to actually do what she always wanted to do, which was be a mom. Like, if you're any type of Nikki fan, you know that she's always wanted to be a mom. So, right. It's kind of cool to do that, at least.
Yes. Well, you know, happy pregnancy or whatever they say to women who are pregnant. Onika, yes. And, you know, let's move on to something more important. So, let's talk about the political moment segment. This is about Harris.
Kamala Paris.
Honestly, that's an album.
That's sickening. That's, yes.
Damn, I'm good. Like, I just, genius just be coming out. God. Anyway, so Kamala Harris and Joe Biden are now on the ticket. They are going to be basically going up against the whole Trump-Pence regime coming later this year/till next year. I don't know how to start it, but I guess, you know, how do we feel about Kamala being VP? I don't even think we've talked about that yet on the show. So it would be nice to get some random tidbit facts or some kind of, you know, opinion here and there.
Girl. Anyone want to start this off?
You good, nigga. You good.
I don't know. Like, I feel like I can't trust anybody nowadays. Like, and that just comes from so many different aspects of my life. I'm just like, damn, like, there are snakes in the camp for real, for real. And they everywhere. And that does not leave out the fucking Democratic Party. Because at this point, I don't know what the aim is. I'm not really sure what the angle is. I'm not even sure what they really represent at this point, because
America with 3 Ks.
But that's the same thing as the Republican Party, but they want to pretend that they're so different. I'm like, y'all really be supporting the same shit, like, if you really break it down.
You're not getting me to vote for Joe Biden, I'm sorry.
I'm
not saying who I'm voting for or where I'm voting or what all that shit. I'm not voting for him, so.
After the ticket was announced, I took a real deep exhale. I was like, okay, this is reality right now. This is what we're doing. Because honestly, from how the primaries went, I wouldn't have imagined Kamala jumping on a fucking ticket with Joe Biden. After the fucking things that she said about him. Being racist, being like, just like all these different things, like, how are you going to go from that to, like, supporting him? But, again, this kind of happens a lot, so I'm not even that surprised. But, like, I just really was surprised it was her, specifically because she didn't even win the primary in her home state. So I'm like, if you couldn't get the people that you've been representing to vote for you, how are we supposed to vote for you anywhere else?
The problem is career politicians have what is called a career. And what happens if, like, something doesn't work out in your current role or your current job? You just, like, move states and go to and find another one.
Another thing, yeah.
Like, it's not about serving the community. It's about maintaining the status quo and making sure you always have your in or your people or your you know, your part of your department or whatever the fuck it is. So I'm not mad at Kamala. I don't really care. I'm not mad at even the Democratic Party. I'm just not necessarily fooled either by this assumption or this idea that they're, like, anyway better than Republicans at what they're trying to do.
As I think we've said on this podcast before, like, for my political views, that obviously Democrats and Republicans are literally kind of almost dead center in this spectrum that we try to put politicians on, or like party groups, where on the left it's the leftists and anarchists and whatever the hell, and then on the right it's the Republicans and conservatives, yada yada yada, and in the dead ass middle are, you know, Democrats, and on the far right is Republicans, when that's not true at all. For most of our audience members, I know that you all probably know that Republicans and Democrats are very much right in the smack dab center, and that usually Republicans are a little bit more to the right and Democrats are a little bit more to the left. And then, of course, right there are centrists, who are probably the worst of them, because at least I know where the other ones stand. Centrists, it's real hard to figure them out. And so, like, actual leftist policy, actual leftist politics in general, those things don't really exist in the current political setup. We're in a two-party system. My take on Kamala, though, is that this is a person who's been a prosecutor, a DA, she's been through Senate, she's now a VP, you know, she's been up the ranks, she's been everywhere within politics, that you can think of, except for, and I'm, you know, I'm not speaking for her, except for torturing people at the bottom of the White House or Pentagon or whatever. So I it's not that I don't think she's qualified, because I think she is qualified. I did look into her policy. I did look into her track record. I did look into some of her prosecutions. She's got a lot of positive and negative. I guess the real question is, like, do we support politics in general? Because if you support politics in general, you have to kind of give a lot of these politicians' grace, if you will. Like, if you're not participating in politics and you're not participating in this system and you don't want to have anything to do with the system, I am 100% down for people to not vote and completely opt out of this, because it's not serving you. We know it's not serving us. We can see it. But if you are trying to work with the system at hand, I think, you know, Kapala, she's honestly not bad for the VP ticket. Like, I actually don't see a problem with her. I don't know if anybody has something to say to that or
I'm concerned with Joe Biden, not her.
Yeah, I'm very concerned with Joe Biden. I mean, like, the 1994 crime bill remix happened when this came out.
Literally!
Girl.
That's my issue. It's like, and that's why I was kind of saying, like, I just don't understand what the Democratic Party is planning to do. Like, I don't get what this was supposed to achieve. Was it supposed to unite the Democratic Party? Because that's always been an issue, is that the people on the left can never agree on anything, because you have Democrats in the White House that are literally centrists, and then you have people on fucking Twitter that are like, we love Karl Marx. Like, bitch, let's tear this whole fucking shit down in the name of the proletariat. Like, and Democrats don't agree with that. Liberals do not want a communist revolution. They don't want socialism. They really don't. Like, Bernie was radical for the Democrats. Bernie was too radical. We didn't even compromise with Bernie, because he never won any primary elections or anything. They didn't give anything. So, like, that's why I don't get it. I don't get what they're doing.
One thing to be fair, though, like, let's also consider the fact that, like, we do live in a nation of many people. And so even if we strongly feel that things should be this way, it is logical that there could be people who feel just as strongly that we're wrong or on the opposite or whatever. So that's one thing I always try to remind myself of, is like, I don't expect Democrats to not be Democrats, right? Like, I don't expect that. I just expect for people to be accurate about what Democrats are and then decide if they're really about that. Because, like, Democrats get to be, like, you ever remember, like, growing up, you'd see, they would talk about slavery for, like, one day or two out of your whole curriculum in school, but then they'd talk about these white people who were so awesome to, like, help slaves, like, not be slaves no more, like, these abolitionist-type people.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I think that those types, that archetype of a white person, or, like, a person who's, like, part of a group that isn't, like, you get what I'm getting at. Like, there's this archetype, I think, of this, like, savior character that's, like, a little bit better than the alternate. And I feel like Democrats get to sort of ride that wave of being, like, we're the party that wouldn't be about slavery anymore if we could, you know, if that was still a situation. Because, like, I feel like Republicans oftentimes are associated with, like, older ways of thinking, white supremacy. Like, a lot of things get thrown on the Republican Party, and the Democrats just get to, like, not be that, which automatically makes them good.
And that's what the issue is. Like, y'all tried doing this in 2016. Y'all propped up Hillary Clinton and said, at least she's not Trump. And that was supposed to get people to vote for her. Like,
and that's not how things work.
And that's exactly what they're doing. They literally have a fucking, and it's very followed at this point, an Instagram account called Settle for Biden, where it's like, oh,
stop.
Like, we can't say anything really good about him, but, like, at least he's not Trump and we can get Trump out of the office. Like, are y'all joking? Are y'all serious? Like, y'all have political science majors. Like, y'all went to the elite fucking institutions of this country and got political science degrees and criminology degrees and government degrees, and y'all are propping this man up.
I mean,
The thing is, that's actually what they want, though. Like, they want you to be battered down to such a degree that you'll accept anything that they give you.
And that's dangerous.
The problem is that more often the Democratic Party needs to be seen as establishment parties, just like Republicans. They might be, the other face of God, right? Or the dark side of the moon, or whatever you want to call it. But they're both two sides of the same coin, because there is one coin. That's it.
Right.
There's only one coin. So, like, it's not that I have a problem with people feeling how they feel. Even me, like, there were times where I aligned more so with those sorts of belief systems that are consistent with being a Democrat. But, like, right now I'm just not there. And I don't think that I should be shamed into feeling like I'm against progress because I'm not taking inches and centimeters of not Trump. Like, that's ridiculous.
I mean, I guess there is, on my devil's advocate bullshit, I guess there is some sentiments behind subtle slights to communities versus overt in your face, if that makes sense. There are benefits to the subtlety of the democratic liberal, handouts versus the gaudy in your face, very virulent, objections to like every minority in this country by what's currently in the minority party. I mean, in the major party right now, that's this regime that they're running. So I guess my question is, like, how do we feel about the idea that maybe a majority, because we're not the majority, like Julio was saying, like, this isn't really elitism, but it is a thing. Not everyone thinks like us. And so I think there is a good amount of people, especially in certain age demographics, that are more willing to vote for people that look like them, and representation and that outward thing being the only thing that matters, even though their voting and their policy and their track record shows otherwise.
So what was, just to be sure, what was the question again?
So how do we feel about those people who are more interested in voting? Because there are plenty of people who want to vote for Kamala right now. Just because Kamala got put on the ticket, I can show you that about 20% of the Asianic vote, that is fucking crazy to me, 20% of the Asianic vote, APIA, went up for Joe Biden's ticket. About 92% of Black voters want to vote for Joe Biden at this point. And that there was a 45% increase in Latinx voters as well for Joe Biden, which is really because of Kamala, because she kind of represents, like, she really does have that. For Caputo, the reason why she's on that ticket, you know exactly why. It was so to get this result.
I mean, here's the thing. If I'm on Netflix, mm-hmm. and I'm scrolling looking for something to watch, I click on things that look like they're really gay or really Black or really, like, you know, appealing to my personal sensibilities before I read anything. Mm-hmm. So I have to just account for the reality being that a lot of people are not politicians, they're not political science majors, they're not even necessarily interested in watching the news, let alone deciding, you know, who's going to determine the sort of course of the country for the next 4 to 8 years. People aren't actually as invested in it as they like to pretend that they are on average. So, like, yeah, that's the tea. Like, they see a kind of Black-looking woman who's kind of serious, who maybe can get shit done in their opinion, and who isn't Trump, and suddenly they're voting. It's like the whole idea that, like, they kind of swing between the two parties every time because people get fed up with one and then they just go to the other, mm-hmm. on average, you know?
What I think, honestly, is that the reason why Joe Biden won at a certain point, he was sweeping the primary for the Democratic Party was because older POC, especially, like, in the South, older Black people, they love some Joe Biden. They love, like, he was getting, they want
that Clinton again, girl.
He was getting like 96% and up with, like, mm-hmm. older Black voters, older like mixed race and like other POC. Like, he was getting those girls, but all of the younger POC were voting for other people that they deemed more progressive, like maybe Bernie Sanders or maybe Kamala or like other things like that.
Things like that,
right? Like Elizabeth Warren, like. They weren't giving into the, because what Joe Biden represents is, like Julio, what you said, is the status quo. It's like keeping everything, you know, the way it is, but giving the girls a little bit of progression. You know, we're giving an inch. We don't want to give,
it's like progression
too much.
Scented America.
It's like
it's like a like fabric America, softener.
America is like a shit pile, and like we're literally spraying Febreze over it instead of like actually scooping the fucking shit out and like cleaning where it was, like.
It's like,
that's
when
Starbucks, what Joe Biden's gonna do.
It's like when Starbucks has that unicorn flavored shit, and it's really just like the same syrup, but with like sprinkles on it.
Wow, like I am done.
Like,
I also,
so that's why I don't know. Like, it's just like, it just seems a little facetious because, like, oh, of course you would put Kamala on there because she's like in the primary, she was like the exact opposite of you. So like, you get, right. You get the best of both worlds. You get all the girls that already voted for you in the primaries, but then you get all the girls that were Kamala, you know, through and through, also in the primary. So you kind of like
trying
combine
to get,
they're
just trying to get out of their cell, girl.
And like, oh my God, like.
this is why to let them out,
and,
to be honest.
And that's why I'm saying this couldn't have come at like a weirder time, because at this time, in this time of corona, you got people going outside and screaming, all cops are bastards. and you hired a cop to be the next vice president of the United
That's
States.
That's why I can't get down with a lot of these girls out here. Like, what are y'all doing?
Like, not even a cop. You got the state prosecutor of the largest, most populous state in the country to be the vice president. And you got bitches out here in the streets talking about all cops are bastards. Defund the police. I'm yelling. Like, I don't know what's wrong with y'all, but y'all are playing in your own world. Y'all playing your own game.
Sound like the read the room joke right now.
I'm sorry. And they're not reading the room. They're not reading anything.
I guess in some ways, like, for me, the idea of a Kamala Harris as a VP, the thing is she can't vote unless Congress comes to a tie, where she doesn't have any influence as a vice president. So, I mean, you know, getting her out of state district attorney's office and throwing her in this useless-ass position gets her out, at least. So it's nice for people. And that's just me trying to be slightly funny. But I guess there's something serendipitous about giving minority communities a little bit of serotonin by giving them a Kamala, because Kamala does represent people of color. She is a woman, and she does inspire a lot of what's happening in Congress right now, because there are more Black women on running for elections coming up for Congress than there have ever been, period. And that there's a lot of Black, like, voter, like, oh my God, new politicians and things like that are coming up. So I'm trying my best not to rip Kamala's head off, just because I'm interested in seeing what the politics are like behind people's decisions. Because we're not thinking about, like, oh, girl, voter suppression. Like, do you not see that the USPS is being destroyed and that a lot of the back-end money that is being funded and funneled towards that are being used for the new redlining policies that the government is making because of gentrification within your city? Like, have you all not noticed that people have switched and entire demographics have moved? Are we not caring about that, or we're caring about Kamala?
That's why we need Annalise Keating for office.
Shut up. I just finished How to Get Away with Murder. It was amazing. I love the Castillos. So
the Castillos. The Castillo family. The Castillos.
Okay, Jorge Castillos.
Honestly, if I could just have her put that on loop for me and just wake me up every morning.
Yes.
Castillos.
Castillos.
The Castillos. To be honest with you, like, Annalise, Viola, I think you could do just as good as Annalise Kamala.
I mean, hey.
Let's get...
They got the same wig. They got the same wig, essentially.
I'm just saying, if she's gonna be, like, a stocking stuffer candidate, like, give us the real thing. Like, give us what we're really looking for.
Right.
Give us Annalise Keating.
Yeah. That's the problematic Black vote that I would fucking
go
with.
God. y'all not voting Kanye West?
See, you know what? You actually need to go to jail. I actually have a cell for you with your name on it.
Kamala! So my, like, to speak directly to the audience, I think all this, like, talk that we're doing, we're, like, it's probably really hard to actually know what we're going to do on a day, or, like, where we stand or whatever. What I can say for sure to the audience specifically is that we should be caring a lot more, not more than the presidency per se, but we should be caring about our local and state elections in the same way we do about the presidential elections. And I think that's a super important thing, because if you're talking about your life and, like, the way healthcare affects your life and the way school affects your children and affects, and, like, all these different things and how they affect you and, like, what's happening to you and things that are happening in your state, that's on your senator. That's on your representatives. That's on your police chief, like, your sheriff, like, these are all things, like, your superintendent, these are all things that you can actually vote for, like, and everyone that I've talked to, like, I always am just trying to make sure that everyone knows that, like, oh, there's an election coming up, like, we just had a primary election in Jacksonville, like, last week? Like, mm-hmm, I think mm-hmm. it was statewide, too, like, girl, Tracy Davis got my vote for my representative, like, Miss Thing, Democrat, Black woman, giving it everything she got. Like, that's what I need. So, like, people want to support, like, a presidential candidate, but there are so many people, especially people of color, that are probably working in your communities, district, county, and, like, they need support, too. and it's kind of given a back burner kind of thing, which is understandable just because of the weight that's given to the presidential election. But like, the president can't do nothing without Congress. Congress was blocking Barack Obama for the first term essentially because of that, because it was a Republican Congress fighting him on everything. So if you're voting for your representatives, they have the power to at least even limit Trump. Like, if you really think about it, like, there are so many ways that checks and balances work, and we as a community and as a society need to understand that it ain't just the president that's calling the shots, and we have the power to actually control all of that shit with our vote. So look up your districts, know your representatives, and all that different stuff, because we're gonna be having to vote for all that shit again. Constitutional amendments to your state constitution, that we'll be voting on. There's a whole lot of shit. So,
and there's also, just to speak to Caputo's point, we're only a few, just for the audience, we're only a few seats away from having a majority Democrat Congress. So if you really want to vote so badly for the Democrats, at least give them something, at least in terms of representatives, so that they can have a little bit of power and they're not getting, bitch slapped whenever a vote comes up. Because, exactly. Your girl, your standing fave, I hate standing politicians, I don't do that, but your fave, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who I actually kind of like, both as a person with her story and her policy, because I've seen some of the things she's voted on, she can't do anything if there's no majority Democrats within the House and Congress. So, you really need to help. If you want to help her out, if you want to help Miss Iran... I can't pronounce her name. Omar Imran, is that her name?
Mm-hmm. If you want to help,
I'm not gonna try. But I, you know exactly what I'm talking about. If you want to support her, then you're gonna want to go ahead and help them out in Congress, so they can at least have some kind of power to make whatever little changes, subtle changes, things that before the guillotines are built. I'm gonna be standing outside of Home Depot getting the wood to build the guillotine, though. So,
period.
They just better cancel these student loans before I get killed, because
that, I'm interested in that too.
Cancel those. Y'all want me to vote for you? Cancel the student loans. How about it?
Mood, you cancel the student loans. Honestly, I'm ready to build the guillotine for someone else.
Right, whatever. Fuck. What? No, let me not say it. Because I did not actually mean that. My thing is, I need to see some real, real, real changes, because otherwise it's really just, alphabet soup for me, these politicians. Girl, y'all all Americans. Yeah. America isn't here to help everybody. I'm sorry. America does not want to help everybody.
And these are jobs. These are things that we're voting on for people to get a job. Being a politician is not being a celebrity. I feel like a lot of y'all majority in the world, at least in this society, somehow believe that being a politician is somehow a celebrity status bar or something. These are jobs. We are actually voting people in to do something for you.
And they work for you.
They're supposed to be your slaves.
They work for us. They literally get paid just like teachers and police officers. They get paid with tax dollars.
But because of lobbying and things like that and corporations, it has completely shifted the power from the people to politicians and their corporate backers and buyers, and lobbyists specifically.
And our celebrity worship culture, which actually props these people up and makes them celebrities in the first place. Because part of why these politicians can be that way is because of how we operate. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is. It's a vicious cycle. I hope that everyone makes the best choice for them genuinely. And at the end of the day, mind your business. Go vote, mind your business, and stop trying to make people feel less than or feel bad because they have a personal opinion about how this country is run. Because I'm sorry, no one has the best candidate right now.
No one.
Yeah.
Nobody. Sorry.
And we're going down through the...
Nobody.
And we're going down through, all of these political decision-making things. And recently, Jacob Blake, a man... is it Alabama? Or... No, it's that weird place, Kenosha.
I hate you.
It's weird one place. Of those places.
Not a weird place.
I know.
I think it's... Fuck.
We really said we were better than Wendy, and look.
Stop! I didn't contribute to
and
that.
And look.
I said I was a person. That's all I said.
Okay, I guess that does make us better than Wendy Williams.
Yeah, we're people. So he was gunned down in Kenosha. Wisconsin, which has left him paralyzed. He is not dead, but it did leave him paralyzed. He's a 29-year-old black man. Basically, the video, as I watched, and I watched a few criminal justice lawyers kind of like look over the video. Basically, it was three cops and one stunned onlooker. And he ends up kind of going to his truck in order to get something out of there and gets gunned down in his back. Now, what's interesting about it is that there have been a lot of statements made by the state and by, you know, the police specifically, that they're going to be doing these hard investigation into the case. But that's really just because of public arrest, basically, the public uproar. And the fact that we're still in a time of protests, that those are still happening, if you didn't realize. So I'm wondering how we feel about this political movement happening at the same time that we're still having people killed in person, on video, and we're seeing it over and over and over and over again, consistently.
It just goes to show that, like, we're still in this same shit. Like, it doesn't end. And I think now, because of the weight of these protests that have been everywhere, like, people are still on high alert with understanding that, you know, it's not something that you have to rally for every 4 years, or something that you rally for. Like, the police really are fucked up. Like, they do a lot of fucked up shit, and, like, now the spotlight's on them. And, like, defund the police is an actual, like, national movement. Like, even though it might not be supported by everyone, like, it's still a national movement. And it's like kind of a hand in hand with Black Lives Matter, because, like, the police does not support Black Lives Matter. Does not think that Black Lives Matter at all. So I think it's just like a national consciousness, especially with younger people. And I guess it's like a more progressive thing to think that, like, the police get too much government money. I don't know how that could be a thing, but just talking to the people that I know that don't support a defund movement just think that police, if they're given enough money, like, they'll just have more guns to fight the quote-unquote bad guys or whatever. And then we have all these movements that we're being forced to have because people aren't being humanized. Like, when they're being, like, attacked by police officers, they're not being humanized because of this, like, fucked up mentality of how the police should be run. So, I mean, it's horrible what happened to this man. And I really hope that he gets the justice that he deserves. And I hope that he can fucking sue the hell out of this, like, this police department. And, like, I hope that everyone stays safe, because I know there's riots going on over there and protesting. I really hope that everyone stays safe over there, because I'm sure Wisconsin isn't used to getting, like, protests like that, and I know that that's a Republican-ass state, so, like, I'm just hoping that everyone's safe in that moment, and in that, because, whew.
It's hard for me, because I feel like this should not be the most important problem we're dealing with as a nation, but it still is. Like, there's a virus just running around killing niggas, and, like, the cops can't stop trying to do the same thing.
At all.
It's just nuts. It's crazy. It's weird. It doesn't make any sense. And that's why, like, I don't know what is going to happen if the Democrats get in office. Like, what about that changes? Because Democrats have only made it easier for black people to get arrested and to get, and for, you know, for people of color to be deported, and for, you know, drones to, like, kill you in your sleep in your house across the world. So I just don't know how we fix the real problem, which is, like, America. And I say this with love, because just like a lot of us, I was born here, I was raised here, I was taught that, like, this was a great place to be, and I really want that to be true, and it just doesn't feel like it is all the time.
Right.
I mean, it's a vicious cycle that we are living in at the moment, and I think it's becoming more stressful as we're seeing a lot of things come to head with coronavirus and vaccination being still a hot topic right now, understanding the world's view of these things. I mean, damn, like, I'm not trying to be funny, but bitch, I've been into this Resident Evil shit, and like, the way y'all niggas, and I'm using that pejoratively, the way y'all niggas handled Corona shows me that y'all can't handle not a goddamn thing when it comes to coming together and stopping a virus or a pandemic. Like, as soon as the zombies come, I'm shooting all of you. Like, I'm just letting y'all know, I can't, because it is, the way it was messily handled, I can now see why in games, I'm like, girl, that would never happen, like, the world is not that crazy, like, humans are not that stupid, but girl, the game world came to the real world, and I saw how idiotic an entire government system funded by billions and billions and billions of tax dollars, fumbled the ball in handling a virus. This virus didn't have a race, it didn't have a name, it didn't have a creed, really, until we put one on it by calling it the Chinese whatever.
Look, I hate that you're making this point right now.
It's true, and as soon as we put something on it, guess what happened? We fumbled the entire ball because we wanted to focus more upon the origination of a virus versus actually preventing it and stopping it. And so that vicious cycle continued, and we ended up getting the virus hitting communities of color, minorities, faster, as the system has set it up to be. And now we're in an election season where we now have to choose whether we want an overt president trying to kill us with the virus, or we want it subtly done with Hillary, you know, on the up on the thing. Better Kamala got a better perm, though. Like, I'm more interested in that.
Okay, we do love the salon and what it's done for Ms. Harris. She does look good.
You know, Kamala's mom is like, you know, she's a Desi woman, and you know, they are beautiful at all times and always slain. So that's why her hair looks that way. I know it is.
I'm not gonna say anything to that.
But yeah, that's like my take, I guess, my take on the whole situation. Like, we're in high tension is basically what I'm trying to say after all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this country is already just on the brink of a revolution, if you know what I mean. Something is gonna happen, and I hope that we all live to see the end of it, whatever it is, and that everyone's safe and makes the, like I said, make the best choice for you. I'm past the point of like judging or getting mad about how people feel about this. Like, if you really feel like voting for Joe Biden as your president is gonna like make a difference, do it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you could convince me the same, but do it. Mm-hmm. I totally hate the fact that Donald Trump is our president, but you know what, I didn't vote for him, so it's not my problem either. Like, that's the other thing about this whole thing, and I guess we could probably move on after this, but like, I hate how the girls like put Donald Trump as this thing we need to fix, like we created the problem. Like, I did not do that. That wasn't my problem.
Right. I mean, I could take care of it for you, girl. Like, all I gotta do, you gotta give me high building.
Okay, Phoenix Force.
Like, yeah, give me a really high... Well, not that. I'm just saying, you know, I got a really nice tactical. All you gotta do is just give me a really high...
You're really stupid!
Get me the wind coordinates. Like, how hard is it blowing? And give me a good place. Kennedy was not the only one. Like,
You're trash.
We can make it happen.
I'm just kidding. I do not condone this message.
I don't condone it either. It is a joke.
Like, y'all just gotta stop, though. Like, Trump is, like, the epitome of what's wrong with this country. No, bitch. Y'all voters are the trash. Y'all the ones who voted for Trump. Mm-hmm. Y'all did this.
What you want me to do. Like,
what do you want me to do about that? Y'all act like I literally put him in office and like walked him up the white steps. Like, okay, y'all did that. So fix it. Tell your mom. Tell your grandma. Do not tell me anything.
Right. Oh, girl.
Tell your mom. Tell the white women in your family that voted for Trump. Tell your grandma. Tell your conservative ass uncle who pays your college tuition. Tell them. Do not tell me anything about Donald Trump. Please. I don't want to hear it.
Help. Yeah. Well, did we want to move on to something more fun? Because I guess we want to still talk about Megan. Well,
yes.
Let's unpack her for our last little tidbit. Let's get into her.
One of y'all hip hop girls do it, because I don't know.
You really love being anti-black. You really love it.
I sure do.
She said, one of y'all hoochies. Y'all ghetto hoochies.
One of y'all hoochies.
When are you two hip hop hoochie type city girls? Y'all talk about that shit. I'm not talking about that.
When are y'all talk about that, bro.
Doja Cat, she's trash. I'll talk about that.
So yeah, we got a story. He was a boy and she was a girl. Can I hate you more obvious?
I actually hate you. I wish it was obvious. If Meg had told us what happened, it would be obvious. Right. How about Meg Thee Stallion got shot and felt the need to protect the black man who shot her for some mix of street code loyalty, police sentiment, I guess, and then just genuinely fear for her black life in that situation. There is a lot that goes into this story. There's a lot to talk about in this story, and I think we might even need to like make this a real episode or something, because there's a lot that goes into this. But point blank period, I get where Meg's thought process is, but I think that this is complete and utter BS and trash, and it needs to not be like a thing that we do anymore.
Right.
That's how I feel.
With Megan, the whole, like, I just got that story like an hour ago when we watched it together. And the way I see it, honestly, it's funny because as I hear her talking about the situation, I am trying to put myself in her shoes. And, you know, I try to be funny or whatever about the men I'm interested in, about needing that kind of, you know, teardrop tattoo, like, he's got to be able to shoot me kind of thing, that vibe. But, like, there's just...
For the audience, I'm glaring at her, by the way.
I know that I put out that vibe of, like, needing someone that's, like, fresh out of jail.
And honestly, I know that I seek abusive relationships.
Like,
honestly, this is a low-key ad using our show to get me one of those, because
Kamala, I do need one. I might vote for you if you do this.
Yeah, just put me in jail.
Arrest this one.
Put me in jail.
Put this one in jail and I'll vote.
But yeah, you know, like, I love to say, I love to talk about that, but like, there are things that come with dating people or interacting with people like that who, you know, have or pose a certain danger to you. And I think for Megan in hip hop, especially being a black, darker skinned cis female, like, there's always something for them to deal with within that industry. And then to also have friendships or interactions or business relationships is even more tumultuous. So, you know, interacting with Tory Lanez or interacting with anyone has a statute of codes that is not on paper anywhere. Like, you have to act a certain way, interact a certain way with people and their friends and their business partners that, you know, people like us on the outside don't really understand. And for Megan, when she was explaining why she didn't want to talk to the police, that's when it hit home for me, because I was like, yeah, if I was in that situation, honestly, I'd probably do the exact same thing. I wouldn't want to have my... There is a man in the car with a gun who is also black. You are a black woman. There's a lot of problems that can ensue. I would not speak up if I had the opportunity. Now, mind you, she regrets it, as she says that she wishes she had just said something. But even Megan doesn't know what the repercussions would have been, because she'd made the other decision. She'll never know. But she can only speculate, and we can only speculate. But based on the whole Jacob Blake thing that happened recently, we can kind of almost guess what would have happened to her.
Right. And that's the thing. Like, everyone was getting on her one. I mean, in that moment, I don't think anyone would have been like, he shot me right over there, officer. It was him. And then
people... what do you mean? Wait. You know how many people would have done that?
I'm talking about if we're talking about Megan specifically. Like,
Okay. I feel like people would do that, though.
People would do that, but I'm talking about, like, in Megan's situation, like, Tori and Megan are really good friends. Like, they are good friends, or were, or whatever. So, like, I could see a lot of people, like, if the police run up, not immediately being like, bitch, it was him, like, lock him up. I could see that being a thing. So I wasn't surprised that she didn't immediately be like, it was him, officer. And afterwards, I can also understand, I don't think, honestly, like, she had a lot more, she had so much patience and graciousness, and she is just, like, a light. Because, again, I think a lot of people would have, after the fact been like, bitch, like, you shot me. Like, I got a fucking bullet in my foot. So, like, where'd it come from? Like, what's the deal? But the fact that, like, Tory was going online, his camp was going online, his publishers, all of that were going online and, like, actually spreading rumors that she was lying about getting shot in the first place. And then, like, she was going and trying to hit up Tory and be like, why are you having your people lie on me? Like, to the point where she had to even go on and say it herself. Like, this man shot me. That's wild to me. Like, you're actually playing, like, mind games with this woman that you actually physically abused, and now you're, like, mentally abusing her. Like, that's so fucked up. And the fact that, like, Megan was kind of when she was on live, like, she was kind of going about it, like, because she's a very emotional person when it comes to it. Like, but she was very, like, you're not going to sit here and lie on me. Like, I got the facts. I got the receipts. Like, y'all not going to sit here and call me a liar. And you're not going to have all these trolls in the comments talking about how I'm a liar either. It's just, like, really messed up that, like, this person, Tory, could, like, or would even, like, try to turn and spin a story when he... Like, she could have already gotten your ass locked up. Like, she could have done that from the get-go.
But isn't that what's so, like, you know, pause ghetto about this? Like,
not pause.
Isn't that what's so ghetto and ratchet about this? Like, how is this Hollywood? Like, how are y'all actually, like, working with budgets that I've never touched or seen in real life before? And, like, this is how y'all handle, a dispute in this manner? Like, this is what y'all do? Y'all get on live and talk about, like, the details of a potential court case? Like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not how this is supposed to work. Like, if Tory Lanez shot her, like, she's, like, alleging that he shot her in public. Like, where are the police? Where's Rock Nation?
Where's the assault case?
Where's The Rock?
I would like to see...
Not The Rock.
No, where's The Rock Nation? Like, where's Rock Nation?
Oh, I thought you were talking about The Rock, Dwayne Rock
Johnson. Y'all really are dumb. Like, I'm here for the double entendre, but, like, genuinely, like, where's her team? Why is she making this claim on her own on a fucking platform like Instagram? Like, to me, it just screams, like, a level of, like, publicity that I don't like. And I'm not trying to accuse her of lying or anything like that, but I think doing things in this way, regardless of whether she chose to do it or she's been forced to, is just not the look. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're saying she should have gone, like, a legal route if she wanted to, like, really expose him.
No, I'm saying, like, how is this how we're having a conversation about someone attempting to harm you with a gun?
Oh, like...
Like, how does that happen on Instagram? Yeah, you're two celebrities. Like, you're Megan Thee Stallion. Like, people have just been talking about your huge, you know, situation with... Yeah, like, you're supposed... And I'm not saying this to criticize her. It's genuinely me assessing the situation. Like, she has major backing. Like, we've seen the wigs. We've seen the looks and the outfits and the money, like, flowing into her account. Like, how is this not translating to a different sort of vibe when it comes to the way your disputes are handled? Like, you should not be on Instagram Live in a hoodie talking about the details of a case.
Right. And that's why I think there's probably not going to be a case unless... something very different happens. I mean, I don't even think that Tory's even, like, responded to any of those accusations or, like, her coming clean about everything. So, like, I just don't know whether there's going to be a case, like, what's going to happen. And I guess, like, we can only take her word for what her intentions were for sharing that was because people were literally lying about her, calling her, like, telling her that she was, like, lying to try and destroy Tory's career and, like, all this other shit. And then you have Tory up here, like, literally lying about, oh, she didn't get shot. Because she already said that she was shot, but she didn't say by whom. So but people, like, are trying to say, like, stop trying to incriminate Tory. He never did that. You stepped on some glass. And, like, I can get, and she is the type of person to go on live and do that in the same way Cardi B is. They're very, like, if something is happening in their personal life, like, they will go on live to clear it up. But this is something like very, very serious, and I don't know exactly what the next step is, like, because I've already, like, blocked him on Spotify, so I know, you know, playlists are gonna pop up for him, for me at least, but, like, I don't know where else this goes. Like,
it should go to court.
Like, Chris Brown had a court date.
What is going on? Like, I don't understand that.
I think, like, politically, like, you have to look at, well, see, I don't want to be elitist, but we're bringing the streets to social media and involving it in this case of, like, this was a situation between two quote-unquote friends dealing with a gun and dealing with a gunshot, and then the police were involved. But nowhere
the way she described it, she said she, like, was leaving. She was already out of the car, and someone shot at her from inside the car to the outside of the car. Like,
because of because of a dispute between them and, like, friends, like her quote-unquote homegirl and the security guard and Tori. There were four people in the vehicle, which, to me, it just means that it was a dispute between quote-unquote friends, and then it became violent based on the idea that, as we know, Black men love to compensate for something. So that gun came out and he thought he had some power. So that's nice. But I think that this street code thing that has come up where, like, she's been called a snitch is very weird to me. Because, you know, even, like, honestly, if we're being real here, and this is not me revealing anything, but I have been around and know people who are within Bloods, within Crips, within Latin Kings. There's some people in some Transformers group, gangs. Like, you know, I know how that works. And most of them don't open their mouths on live about who they've killed or what has happened, and for y'all to go on live on Instagram to do it is just a little funny.
That is my point. That is what I'm getting at. Like, here's the thing. Megan got on live and said, I was protecting you, you know, and then she was starting with this whole thing about how, like, she wasn't concealing it, and then she just says he did it. It was like, It just didn't feel like this whole thing to me, the way it's progressing and the way it's making, like, the way it's panning out does not make sense. And yes, I will take her word for it with regard to why she chose not to disclose at the time. But I feel like the minute he started talking out of his mouth, like, where is Jay-Z? Like, where is her team to say, oh, no, honey, like, your brand is, like, her brand is mostly under their control anyway. So, like, you're not going to take this talent and, like, turn and tarnish her name and shit like that.
Control of, like, she can go on live and talk about whatever she wants. Her record label has no control over that. And, like, I think because, like, she's, like, that's, like, incredibly, like, mentally, like, fucking her up, I would feel that, like, literally she's doing nothing but trying to protect her friend, and, like, she's literally being made this, like, horrible person. Like, I understand it's not the most tactful thing for her to have done, but, like, sometimes it'd be like that, you know? Like,
I don't think it's about tact for me. My problem is that this is ghetto, like, genuinely, and I say this, like, I'm a Black person, I'm trying to say this in a way that makes sense, because it's not coming across right. Like, yes, I'm being funny about it, but, like, genuinely, this is not how we handle an attempted murder or an assault. Like, it doesn't make sense. You do not get on IG Live and do that. If you want to tell the world that he fucking shot you and allege that and make it the truth on IG Live, that is a case, that's court. Like, that's not IG Live. And at that point, too, what are you accomplishing? You're not protecting him anymore, because
I think she's already, like, admitted to the fact that she's done protecting him.
Well, I mean, I need to see the receipts. I might be wrong. There might be already a case in process. I have not done the research yet.
I would like
the deposition. But my thing is,
I would like to see the deposition.
I would like to genuinely see that, you know what, he's done his part. You tried your best to, like, handle this in a different way. Totally respect that. That was your decision to make as the person who was attacked. But at this point, like, what is the IG Live doing other than kind of, like, just fueling, like, this media circus? You know what I mean? It just feels like, it just doesn't feel right the way it seems to have been handled.
If anything, this takes the notoriety spotlight off of Megan onto Tori, and I can only support that 100%. Like, yeah. I'm sorry, because, like, before this, no one was talking about fuck Tori. Like, hardly any. Maybe the hotties, maybe. That was it.
I literally heard he shot her, and I was like, oh, so he's going to jail. Like,
like, but
what was that? What do you mean?
But that's the thing, like, That's the thing, and, like, honestly, like, even though she's, like, she's making a public statement, like, this is still something that she could move forward in. But again, like, if this was a step with her healing physically and mentally, then, like, that's just how it is. Like, again, it's tactless, it's ghetto, like, whatever you want to call it, but, like, it is what it is. This isn't the wildest thing that someone's done on social media. Right?
Well, I'm not. I think that's going too far because I'm not saying it's the wildest thing people have done. But, I'm not saying you're saying it's. Right, I get you. I'm just saying, like, this is not how we should do it. I'm not criticizing Megan's choice. Megan is an individual. I would want to get on IG Live and say someone shot me. If someone was lying in the streets and they were doing this, I too would want to do what she's doing. Right. I'm just saying, like, Megan Thee Stallion is not, like, Megan has a team. She has money. She has a backing. Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, why is this happening this way? This doesn't make sense to me. It's like the same thing. I could say the same thing if it was like Normani, for instance, and we're like, why is Normani not have an album out and other shit like that? Like, there's just certain people who have a certain backing and you're just like, why are you not seeing that play out? And with this particular situation, it just doesn't add up for me. Why is this not being handled appropriately?
I think part of it for me is like this critique on the idea that we're okay with publicizing using digital media to get our opinion out when that's not necessarily the best option in every single case, right? Yeah, so there's like, yeah, that's like not really working for me. I don't like the idea of doing this Instagram influencer type reveal about how you were shot. You know what I mean? I think it's better about to go through the court system, as fucked up as the judicial system is. It's still nice to it's still nice to, you know, get these things documented and on record, because that's the proof already that she needed that, yes, this man shot me, yes, the publicists online are a mess, and that they have created a campaign against me and put promotional marketing dollars behind keeping my name in the media as a liar, which is just not the case. Right. So I just need to see
people defending her right now from her team that's backing her. Like, y'all can put her and pretty her up and put her on a music video with Cardi B and all these girls running through this mansion.
Yeah.
But y'all can't say this woman was shot and y'all need to fucking back the fuck up so we can like get this court case, get this date. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I need to see the machine working in this way.
Megan with the Cardi wig would be nice, where she puts on her publicist wig when she's talking about politics.
Can you not right now?
The court date wig.
Yes.
I need to see her in her court looks, just like Azalea got her court looks. I need to see these Megan court looks, executive look.
The thing that bothers me the most about this is that the girls, even after this whole thing, still have a problem with Megan and are still trying to paint her in this bad light and still trying to group her in the same category as the 6ix9ine motherfucker. Because these two quote-unquote snitches are not the same. Like,
they're trying to make her the same as 6ix9ine.
You know how 6ix9ine's a snitch.
Yeah, they're trying to put them in the same bracket.
They're trying to say that Megan's a snitch for what she did.
Okay, well, let's be honest.
So am I then, I guess.
Yeah, we're in the last 3 minutes of the show. I just want to tell you this. A lot of y'all girls do this. It's because people have made other people's opinions matter. A lot of y'all, lot of y'all don't matter. Like, I don't understand why there's so many people online thinking that their existence matters to these people. It does not. You talking about the agency of the difference between 6ix9ine versus Megan's, like, snitching, whatever. None of y'all are in gangs. I know you're not. You're all at home doing anthropology degrees, hoping and praying that you can get a job after you get out of university. You know what I mean? Girl. A lot of y'all are sitting at home wondering and praying and hoping that, you know, somehow your degree is going to get you an entry-level position and you're going to end up working at Zara. Like, you got to stop trying to put your opinion into things that don't matter. What doesn't matter is her adjacency, whatever, to 6ix9ine. What matters is she was shot, and maybe there should be some support behind her instead of creating an online docket about speculating. No one cares. And specifically, no one cares about you. Let's just be honest. Wow.
I love that I was a part of the demographic she talked about.
I'm screaming.
I hate that I just submitted my Zara application this morning.
I just get so annoyed at, like, public responses now. Maybe it's because I'm getting older, but public responses and, like, seeing, you know, 700,000 likes on something that is as meaningless, as stupid as, you know, the shit that I post on my Twitter, it just gets annoying, girl.
Oh, my God.
I hate public opinion in most cases, because a lot of it is just, it's not useful. None of it's really
the
useful.
Podcaster.
Right.
Let me go ahead and
says the cohort of fat two black fat podcasters and their, you know, cameo black woman podcaster.
It's not just cameo.
This adjacent black woman podcaster is just, I agree with you to a degree. I think the way you said it maybe wasn't for me, but it's true. People have opinions, and we all have a very democratized sense of importance, like, because we can all spew our opinions and get thousands of people to agree with us now, you know? So it's easier to say something loud and wrong and for it to make sense to more people than yourself, and that's great. But at the end of the day, like, someone got shot, it is not the same as being in a gang and having a sense of, like, a code attached to crimes that you're committing with each other. Megan, you know, according to her account of the story, committed no crime. She got shot. So I think she's allowed to kind of tell the police that that happened, or tell the public that that happened, instead of allowing herself and her name to be dragged through the mud.
Thank you.
My problem with it is, like, at the end of the day, this sense of loyalty that we're supposed to have for each other, and this is kind of what I wanted to get into maybe in another episode, but, like, this sense of loyalty that we're using to sort of police each other and stop ourselves from, like, taking care of ourselves and advocating for ourselves needs to stop. That's what's toxic about this. And that's why this whole episode I've been so concerned with this idea of, like, why is Megan alone on an IG Live talking about getting shot in the foot?
Right.
Doesn't make sense. Where's her team? Where are the girls, you know, where are the two big bodyguards behind her to be like, yeah, nigga, like, we're coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. There's other ways to talk through this, and this isn't it for me.
Well, thank you for putting that on. We're going to cut it here, and we're going to talk about this probably in another episode about loyalty to black men, honestly, because, you know, trash.
you're actually going to jail.
I'm actually going to jail. I mean, that's kind of where I want to go, but anyway. Yeah, thank you so much for listening. It was great talking, and we'll hit you up next time. Bye.
Bye.